You're listening to audio from The Village Church. If you'd like to check out more resources or donate to this ministry, please visit tvcresources.net.
This morning, our scripture is 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 15. I'll give you just a minute to get to that on your phone or to turn there in your Bible. That's 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 15. It says this, "Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I'm in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things." This is the reading of God's word.
Good morning. Good to see you, and those of you who are with us online, good to have you with us as well. As you heard there, we're still in our series in the book of 2 Peter. The series is called Grace for Godliness, because that's one of the themes of the letter. So the Apostle Peter writes this letter, and he's reminding us that the grace, the radical, lavish grace that you received in your salvation of Jesus and his work, is that same grace that's going to cause you to grow in godliness. And so I want you to think of it this way. It's just one long letter of an emphasis of reminding. Remember, how many of you use post-it notes like this one? Here's something I'll tell you. As you get older like me, they get bigger. And before long, my post-it notes will be the size of a full legal piece of paper. And if you've ever gone into somebody's house and you look on the refrigerator and there's post-it notes all over the refrigerator, you almost can't see it, or you go in your restroom and it's all over the mirror. Why do we do that? We do that because we forget a lot, don't we? And we're trying to remind ourselves by putting these post-it notes on in front of us. Hey, this is important. You can't forget. I want you to think of this letter as 2 Peter as one large apostolic post-it note from Peter. He's about to die. He's about to be martyred for his faith in Jesus. And I told you last week, and we'll see it, this whole passage really today is about that, that the title of the message is just simply remember, because that's really what he says all throughout. Remember, remember, I'm going to remind you. And so we looked at it last week. He lists out all these beautiful truths that are yours in your salvation in Jesus by faith, by the simple faith in Jesus, that you've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness, that you become partakers of the divine nature through these great and precious promises. And then he lists out these qualities, he calls them, that you should be able to see in your life if you're growing. Now, we don't always see those perfectly, but he lists out these qualities that you could be able to see in your life to say, this is evidence that there's fruit growing in my life and my faith in Jesus. And then he says this in verse 9, and we'll look at verse 9 together. If you don't see these qualities growing in your life, there's a reason. Look at verse 9 with me. "For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins." He has forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. So there's a correlation here between forgetting Jesus and his work at the center of your life and a lack of fruit in your life. I heard a pastor say this recently. There's really two kinds of people in the world. There are those who have never, ever gotten the gospel, and there are those who have forgotten the gospel. And most of us are today probably in that crowd. We so often, although we know it with our head, we've forgotten it with our hearts, and this is who Peter's writing this letter to, people who would know it. And one of the reasons why we say this as a church so often, Christians need to hear the gospel of grace just as much as non-Christians, because we are prone to forget it so often. If you were with us last week, you know, one of the very important distinctions that we made was the biblical meaning of remember versus the Western mind definition of remember. And we determined this, the reason it's so important in Peter's letter, because it means something different than what it would mean to us. Because in the Western mindset, when we say remember, we think of mental collection of facts in our brain that we can recall when we're needed. That is not the definition biblically. Biblically, the definition is something in your life that you've thought so intently on that has become actually a part of who you are, a part of your heart, interwoven into the fabric of your soul. And so you see by that definition, you can already tell, right, that it's possible to know it in your brain and have forgotten it in your heart. And that's what happens to us all so often. And that's what Peter's trying to remember, to remind us of. So really just 2 points today, keeping it very simple. Christians need to be reminded of the work of Christ regularly. And secondly, the Christian's main way of being reminded are the scriptures. Christians need to be reminded of the work of Christ regularly to grow. And the main way of our reminder are the scriptures. So verse 9, you saw, he said, if you don't see these qualities in your life, you don't see them growing, it's because you've forgotten that you've been cleansed from your sins. In other words, he's saying you've forgotten who Jesus is. You've forgotten at the heart, the center, the core of your life, what Jesus has accomplished for you and all the implications. And there are thousands of implications. And then he says in verse 10 and 11, because that's true, give all the more diligence to this. Practice these things. Look at verse 10 and 11 with me. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fail or never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So you see, there's bookends. Verse 9, don't forget. Don't forget. So give all the more diligence. Practice these things. Then he goes back to remembering and reminding again. It's almost like it's sandwiched in there. In other words, what he's saying is the way that you're going to give diligence to these things and the way that you're going to be able to make every effort to these things is always having it be reminded of these truths in the center of your heart so that it becomes a part of you. Look with me at verses 12 through 14. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them already and are established in the truth already that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. So watch this. This is the crux of it right here. This is the key. These are the key three verses. He's saying, therefore, because we forget and we don't grow, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you already know them. Though you are already established in them. Did you see that? Why would you intend to always, always remind somebody of something you say that you already have? Why would you intend to remind somebody always of something you say you're already established in it? In other words, he's saying, you're doing pretty good at this. It's like he's bragging on them. Yet, I intend always to remind you. Why would that be so? If I told you, I know you already have these things, and I know you're already established in it, but I intend to always remind you. I'm telling you something. And here's what it's telling us all. No matter how mature we think we are in our faith, we will never outgrow our need to be reminded daily because we forget so often. At the center, in the biblical meaning of what it means to be reminded and to remember. Why is that so? Why is it so? Why is it so that I could be totally established in the truth of Jesus today? And 2 days from now, it's waned. Still saved, still belong to Jesus, still secure my salvation since it's all based on Jesus' work and not mine. But it's not center. Why does that happen? Here's why that happens. Because every single one of us have been damaged severely by sin. Ever since Genesis chapter 3, when sin entered into this world, it did something to us. It fractured us. It broke us. And our hearts are capable at any given moment, even though we're redeemed, our hearts are capable at any given moment to pursue other disordered desires, to pursue other disordered affections or desires of the flesh? Yes, we are new creations. Yes, we have received a new nature as Christians. And yes, we have been indwelt by the Holy Spirit. But here's one of the realities and implications of what it means for the kingdom to have come already, but not yet. The kingdom of God has come already in Jesus Christ, and we are recipients of that kingdom, but we still have effects of the fall, and we will until Jesus comes back and he makes all things new. For instance, I'm redeemed. I belong to Jesus, and I have all the things that belong to me in Jesus, but my body still gets old. My body's still wearing out. I think when we started this church, I don't think I had gray hair. It just happens. And so we're always fighting against these things, the thing that will compete for what's really, truly center in our life. And so we need to be reminded a lot. And I would say the higher the priority of the importance of the thing that it is you're trying to remember, the higher the priority we would need to put on remembering it. I have a friend who's a pastor in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And we talk about this a lot, about how often we forget or how often we try to add things to the gospel because our hearts are disordered. We try to add things onto the work of Jesus that aren't part of the gospel. And so to get this message across, whenever anyone asks him what he does for a living, he says, I am a missionary to the Christian church. I'm a missionary to the American Christian church. Because what's he saying? Because we forget it and we try to make it something it's not, and we always have to be reminded of what it is. That's what this letter is about. Peter says, I'm about to die. These are some of the most important last words I could ever tell you. And the reality is this. If we don't keep Jesus and his work, his finished work, and all the implications of his finished work center of our hearts, something else will be. Church, listen to me. It's just the way our hearts work. Something is going to be center. Something's going to be the most important thing. Sometimes it's our kids. I've seen that a lot. Sometimes we become kid-centric. Sometimes it's our jobs. Sometimes it's relationships. Sometimes it's our self-image. But whatever is center is what's going to lead us. It's what's going to motivate us. It's what's going to guide us in life. Even though, now watch, because I know this happens to us because it happens to me. I can have those things center, truly center in the moment. I'm not talking about losing your salvation. I'm just talking about in the moment, I can have one of those things center in my life, yet you come to me and ask me what the gospel is and I can rattle the facts out of my brain. How many of you know what I'm saying? You see, that's the biblical meaning of what it means to remember is to believe it in the soul, the depths, the heart, until it forms and guides and shapes your whole life. And that's why we can remember it with our heads, but have forgotten it with our hearts. Let me give you an example, a couple of examples. How many of you have ever had this happen in your life? Something really bad happens in your life because of your own sin, and you're just kind of wallowing in the consequences. It could be the pain that you've brought to yourself because of it, or it could be even the pain that you brought to other people in your life. But for whatever it is, whatever reason, whatever it is, you're just feeling the pain. And it's so intense that you find yourself saying, I will never do that again, never. And 3 years later, not only have we forgotten the pain, we may have given ourselves back over to it again. Or think of it this way. I know many of our members of our church journal. Spiritual journaling. And if you journal, you have experiences, right? I mean, you're going back through your journal and you're looking back a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and you're reading these entries that of something that was going on in your life that seems so important. And in the moment it was really important. And 2 years later and 3 years later, you barely remember it. Sin has broken our hearts. And because sin has broken our hearts will chase any number of things, really, if we give them enough time to be gazed upon. And I've shared this with you guys before. There's a difference between gazing and glimpses. It's not the glimpses that capture your heart. It's the gazes. And that's what Peter's letter is saying. He's saying, gaze. Let your heart gaze on what Christ has accomplished. all things that pertain to life and godliness. Having escaped the corruption that's in the world, being partakers of the divine nature, gaze on Jesus. And of all people who would be qualified to tell us that this is true, it's Peter, isn't it? When Jesus told his disciples, I'm about to suffer and I'm about to be killed, and at the moment that happens, you're all going to desert me. Who was the one that jumped up, right up there, said, not me, Peter. I mean, he went further than that. He goes, Lord, I will never deny you. Never. I'll even die for you. Now, I don't know about these guys. I think they probably will fail you. But I will never deny you. And I'm sure he meant it. But it wasn't much longer, was it? And Peter had not only denied Jesus once, he had denied him three times before the rooster crowed. Yes, some of this is just willful sin and willful pursuit of it, but sometimes it's weak. We're really centered around other things in our heart. So, there's a correlation. And we saw this last week. There's always a correlation in the Bible between forgetting these things and our spiritual ills. We talked about Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. So by way of reminder, since that's what the message is, let's look at Hebrews 2, 1 again, because it says this. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention. I like this because it doesn't say, hey, pay attention. No, he says, pay much closer attention to what you already have heard. Why? Lest we drift away from it. This is why the gathering is so important. Whether you're gathering physically, like some are here, whether most of you, like most of you are gathering around watching online service. This is why it's so important. Because we're paying much more closer attention to these things about Christ that we've already heard. Because you know what he's telling us? He's telling us as his people, there are deeper wells still. There are deeper wells of your salvation still to experience in Christ. And you notice this when you're reading the Old Testament. I don't know, many of you, probably some of you, have a Bible reading plan, and when you're reading through the Old Testament, or you like me, you read these stories of these Israelites, and you go, oh my gosh, how slow can a people be? They're constantly missing it. And that's really us. But did you notice this? Whenever it happens to them, the Lord always shows up in his mercy for them. He always shows up in his grace for them, and he does two things. Watch it, always. He shows up and he tells them who he is, and then he tells them what he's done for them. They already know that. So why is he doing it? Every time he shows up, he says two things. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of slavery, brought you out of Egypt. Every time, watch it. That's the New Testament version of preaching the gospel to them, because the Exodus story is a foreshadowing of the picture of the ultimate salvation for the Christian being pulled out of the world and being pulled out of the slavery to their sin in Christ. The true Passover lamb. So it'd be like us in the New Testament for Jesus to show up and go, I am the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the one who lived perfectly righteous for you according to the law to give you that righteousness. I am the one who was sacrificed on the cross, shed my blood so all your sin would be forgiven forever. I am the one who died your death. I am the one who resurrected. I am the one who was ascended. Now here's what I have to say to you. Because we constantly forget. Watch this. We're trying to keep the services really low. It's short because we got kiddos in here and we want to honor them. So I could give you these examples all day. I'm just going to give you one from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11 through 14. And watch what I just told you, watch how it plays out. They're about to come into the promised land. God had promised them this land. Now here's what he comes and he says to them. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest, when you have eaten, and you are full, and you have built your good houses, and you live in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and when your silver and your gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied. Verse 14, then your heart forgets him. Then in your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, that's who he is, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. That's what he's done. He's basically reminding them of their picture of what salvation would look like. I am the Lord your God, and I am the one who brought you up out of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. But when you've built your good houses, and when your herds and your flocks are multiplying and your money's multiplying, things are going good. Even though you know who I was, know what I did, you forget, and something else is going to become the center. That's us too. And that's why we always have to be reminded too. I remember when this became quite real to me. Have you ever had this feeling like you've heard something over and over and over again, but you never really have heard it until one day it just booms like a revelation in your heart? There was this moment for me many, many years ago in my walk with Jesus. I was reading in the book of Romans, and in the beginning of the book of Romans, Paul says, he's writing this letter to you brothers. When he says brothers, that means he's talking to Christians. So he was talking to Christians, and he says, hey, Christians, I can't wait to come see you and preach the gospel to you. And I remember thinking, you know, if you've relegated the message of the gospel, if you've relegated the message of who Jesus is and what he's accomplished to the is only the message of your entrance into salvation, why would you need him to come and preach the gospel to you again? There are deeper wells. There are deeper wells still, and we need to hear it so our heart is centered and oriented around Jesus. Because there are thousands, church, I've already said this, but there are thousands of implications in your daily life, whether you know it or not, about who Jesus is and what he's accomplished in your life that are going to help you see what singleness is supposed to look like, what marriage is going to look like, what family is going to look like, what your job, what relationships. And then Paul goes on in that same letter in Romans in chapter 12, one translation, he says it this way, don't let the world squeeze you into its own mold. In other words, where the things of the world become center and Jesus is no longer center. You can rattle off the facts from your brain, but in the moment, he's not center in your heart. And then lastly and quickly, the Christian's main way of being reminded of these things are the scriptures. Are the scriptures. Look at verse 15. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. Peter says, my departure's at hand. And by the way, he's not talking about catching the next boat out of town. He means I'm about to die. I'm about to be martyred. I'm about to be executed because I'm a follower of Jesus, just like he told me was going to happen. So with the little bit of time I have left, I'm going to tell you these things so they can be written down, which is that what that is, a letter, which became part of the scriptures, so that you can look at these words at any time and be reminded of them and recall them anytime you need them. The word of God, the scriptures, and particularly what Peter said last week, these great and precious promises, when they are not only read, but particularly, and I think we miss this one a lot, but particularly when they are meditated upon, gazed at long enough so that your heart can be illumined by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can take that word and make it real in your heart so that they can be recalled at any time. You see, this is what Jesus promised us was going to happen. Jesus, before he left the earth, said, when I leave, the Holy Spirit will come and continue this ministry. And one of the blessings of the Holy Spirit is that he will recall these things anytime you need. Look at the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 25 and 26. He said, these things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, Jesus says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Now, think of the word remembrance. Remembrance means you're thinking on something that you've already known. That's the definition, right? I mean, you're not going to say remembrance if it wasn't something you already know. That would be knowing it for the first time. So what the implication of that means is we've got to read our Bibles. so that the Holy Spirit can not only make it real to us, but the Holy Spirit can bring it back up to remembrance for us whenever we need it. I have literally had this happen in my life hundreds of times, and I bet you have too if you've been walking with Jesus very long, where you have a scripture that you've meditated on, it could have been years ago. You're going along life, you hit a situation, and all of a sudden that verse bubbles up in your spirit. Have you ever had that happen? Did you know that is a fulfillment of the ministry of the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised would happen? He will bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. The scriptures, the blessed Holy Spirit himself makes them real to us. And that we can be reminded of them whenever we need them. And then one last form of remembrance that we see in the scriptures are when Jesus told us that the Lord's Supper, communion, would be a visible presentation where we see it, we smell it, we actually taste it and ingest it. We're engaging all of the senses of who Jesus is and what Jesus has accomplished so that we won't forget it. He says this in Luke 22, verse 19. And he, Jesus, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So every time we get around the Lord's table, when we're able to, and we take that bread, we take that cup, we're orienting our hearts in a very special way around Jesus, who he is, and what he's accomplished. And so Peter in his letter says, "For what little time I have left, I'm going to remind you of these things, things that you've already received, things that you're already established in, all these things that pertain to life and godliness, all these things that have given to you that have made you partakers of the divine nature through these great and precious promises. I'm going to keep reminding you of them all." And church, when we fail to keep these things at the center, and we will. Lord knows I do. When we fail to keep these things at the center, because of these truths, we know that Jesus has already paid for our failure to remember, which means we can get back up again under grace. We get back up again under the canopy of grace. We get back up again knowing that the covenant we are in is a covenant of grace that's been sealed in the blood of Christ. And so we get back up again and we make all diligence and we get back up again and we practice these things. And the Spirit keeps his work, all the while knowing that Jesus was forgotten on the cross for us, so that even though we forget him, he would never, ever forget us. Jesus remembered perfectly who God was. Jesus remembered perfectly what God had accomplished for his people and kept it for us. He can never forget you, though you and I forget him because of the cross. I want to know him better, don't you? I want to know a Savior that loves me like that. I want to know him more. I want to live for him. I hope you do too. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we do see, Lord, how sin has affected our hearts. Lord, we forget so often what's most important. Lord, today we acknowledge the times that we have known the facts in our heads, but we've not held them in our hearts. Father, we thank you that you will never forget us, though we forget you often. Because of Jesus, you will never forget us. Please help us, Lord, by your grace, and please help us by the power of the Holy Spirit to keep all these great and precious promises of Jesus center in our hearts and our lives so that we might live them out. It's in his powerful name we pray. Amen. And amen.